All right, if you would, take your Bibles. If you're not already there, let's go to Psalm 116. Just read a few verses right from the middle there. We're going to begin reading in verse 12. And the Bible says there, "What shall I render, what shall I give unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord." A lot of times we see and are familiar with verse 15, where it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." But as I was here a while back, as I was looking at this and studying this, I don't know about you, but it seemed a little bit odd to me its placement in the text. It just, I'm not certainly not trying to correct the Lord or tell Him that He could do a better job in writing Scripture, but it just didn't seem like it fit right in between these verses that came before it and came right after it. It's a verse that speaks about death, and it's sandwiched in between these verses that seem to be alive. And I would say, as I've contemplated that verses 12 through 19 deal with this question: what will be my response to all of the blessings of the Lord? You know, when it is a sad thing that when somebody is blessed, when somebody is given something, when somebody is afforded some special opportunity, that there's not any kind of response, that there's not even a simple thank you. But in this case, I believe it starts off with the question, what shall I render, what shall I give unto the Lord for all of His benefits? The response, the reasonable response would be, are listed there. I think there's four responses that we see here. Number one is taking the cup of salvation. One of the blessings and benefits that we have of God is that He offers to us the cup of salvation. And I'm not sure if you can think, well, I'm sure you can, think back upon the day when you did what was said here in Scripture and you received that cup of salvation. For some people, it might have been not that long ago. For others of us, it was many years and in some cases decades ago. But when the Lord, the blessing of His offering to us the cup of salvation, what's the proper and only reasonable response? Take it. Take this cup of salvation. Another response would be this: to pay my vows. You know what? Over the years, particularly here in the last part of my life, I've come across more and more people that will say something like this. One of two things. Number one, I don't make promises I can't keep. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Or I've actually come across people that say, I don't make promises. And maybe if you've invited somebody to church and would really love to have you, and they might say, "Yeah, I don't make promises," or "I don't make promises that I can't keep." Another sort of related phrase that just really I do not like it is at all is if I ask somebody if they can do something, if they can, "Will you commit to this?" And that is the phrase, "I'll try." It's when somebody says, "I'll try," to me, that's just an open invitation to, "Well, I tried, but I didn't make it." I really, however, love the response, "Consider it done." I love that. "Hey, could you help me? Consider it done. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it." I like that. But so I don't think it's wrong for you and for me to make vows or promises to the Lord. Now, you've probably heard about they used to call them foxhole conversions. It looked like somebody was on the verge of their life coming to an end, and, "Oh God, I'll promise you this, and I promise you that if you'll get me out of this." And Well, I'm not going to sit in judgment on somebody that does that. But the point is this: if we make a promise to the Lord, keep it. And now let me ask you, is there anybody here that has ever kept 100% of the promises that you have made? Yeah, me neither. So what's the point there? Well, sometimes there's unforeseen events. Sometimes things come up. The car breaks down. You're on your way. Somebody gets sick. Something else comes up that keeps you from doing that. So we understand that happens. And, if we're ever in that situation, there's always a way to communicate. Hey, I'm running late. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to do that right now. This is what happened. And just being able to communicate. But the idea is this: I'm not going to make a vain or empty promise to the Lord just to try to get God to do something for me. I am going to make, if I make a vow, I am going to keep it. A third response would be offering sacrifices of thanksgiving. I won't dwell on it, but I mentioned at the very beginning, the idea of just saying thank you. Can you and I ever thank the Lord enough for the gift of everlasting life? No, there's no way. I think that's anytime we come to the Lord, and I like to, in my praying, I like to try to follow this example where the psalmist said that he would enter into the courts of the Lord with thanksgiving and into his presence with praise. That's my paraphrase of it. And I think the first things whenever we come to pray, first words out of our mouth ought to be words of gratitude, ought to be words of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Now, if there is an immediate emergency situation that comes upon you, I don't think it's necessary for us to follow the standard conventions of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day. Please help me that my car will stop spinning out of control. That's probably not the way we're going to pray. Peter, when he was sinking in the waves, did you know what? He didn't even say, Dear Heavenly Father. He just said, Lord, save me. And he didn't even end it with, In Jesus' name, Amen. A very unconventional prayer. And so there are emergency situations where we just blurt it out, right? Have you ever been there? God help me. God save me. Lord, take care of this situation. But when in typical situations when we come to the Lord in prayer, I think it would be absolutely the right thing to do to just start by thanking the Lord, giving Him that sacrifice of thanksgiving and giving Him praise. It says, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Jerusalem, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. That's just telling God that we understand a little bit about how great He is, and being able to maybe in our a quiet time with the Lord, our devotional time with the Lord, maybe even breaking forth in one of the stanzas of How Great Thou Art, then sings my soul. And just praise the Lord for that. So he says, here are the legitimate, reasonable responses for all of the Lord's blessings. And so can I ask you something right now? I am going to ask you something right now. Would you take a moment and answer this question? Has the Lord blessed you? Now, you don't have to nod your head or raise your hands. I know He has. I know He has. Based on Scripture, the Bible talks about the fact that the Lord loads us up with benefits, and it's every day. And the problem with you and me is that oftentimes we don't look and see it as a blessing. Sometimes we think that the only true blessing is when we get this great big fat check in the mail that meets a need right at the last second. Well, that certainly is a great big blessing. But just the fact that you might have driven down Highway 74 and got here to church on time and safe, would you consider that a blessing of the Lord? I would. I definitely would. The fact that we all of us woke up this morning. Now, some of us are in greater stages of awakeness than others. But we woke up, we're able to get dressed, we're able to be here. My friends, is that a blessing of the Lord? Absolutely it is. And so we need to not think that we don't need to say thank you unless it's this some big gigantic thing that happens in our life. It's the small things. But I believe that verses 15 and 16 are giving us two of these blessings that it's talking about. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits, all of His blessings toward me? And so I, just as I look at it, it appears to me that these two verses that appear that come right in the middle of that are simply giving us two of the blessings that God has given us. Now, the first one, verse 15, I believe is telling us that there is the blessing of you and me being in the center of God's attention. Being in the center of God's attention. He says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. He has His eye on us. And whenever any saint of God shows up in heaven after they have passed from this life, God never looks at them and goes, what are you doing here? I didn't know that you, now. No, God knows exactly the time of our departure. And I think that's a blessing of you and me being in the center of God's attention. And then verse 16, I believe, tells us about our blessing of being able to serve Him. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. And I'm not going to focus on all of that, but simply to say that you and I have the great blessing and privilege and benefit of being able to serve our God. And it doesn't matter what our occupation may be, whether it is in what we call full-time Christian service or in some other type of secular service. I never really cared for those terms, lay person and clergy. I just don't like those terms because we are all lay people. We are all servants of the Lord. It's just some people have it. You know, there's different so-called occupations. On the surface, it may seem, it may also seem odd that the word death and precious come in the same verse. There are few who consider the death of a friend or a loved one to be precious. Yet the Bible tells us that the death of a saint is precious. It is highly valued. It is important to the Lord. And so I believe I'd like to just share with you this morning from Scripture the reasons that the death of one of God's children is important to Him, is precious to Him. The Bible teaches, and I think it has two facets. First of all, and I think what most of us, our minds go to immediately, is the idea of physical death. The Bible certainly teaches that the death of a child of God is important to Him. It's so important that the physical dying, our passing from this life into the next, never takes God by surprise. He already knows the exact moment that that is going to take place. I think we, in order to understand why it is that physical death of a saint is precious to the Lord, I think we need to understand what death actually is. And I believe everybody would understand, that's here this morning, would understand this. Death is not the end of anything. It is simply the beginning of something. We pass from this life into the next, as it were. It is our spirit leaving this house and moving to our next house. Now, I used to think that Joy and I moved a lot until God put us into the military community of Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And we had people in our church would come and go like a revolving door. But it wasn't all because they were upset with the church. That happened occasionally. I'm sure that takes everybody by surprise. But it was because they would go through a process called PCS, Permanent Change of Station. And they would be at Fort Campbell for a couple of years or maybe 3 years, and then they would be going somewhere else. I don't really fully understand that, but the Army's been doing it for years, and so I guess that they figure it's a pretty good deal. I thought we changed a lot. And I will tell you this, I don't know how you feel about it, but just to be very honest with you, I hate moving. I despise moving. There's nothing about it. Whenever the first step is get boxes, And that's when the depression sets in. You know, we're going and we're trying to get these boxes, and inevitably, it is the day we're supposed to be out, and there's still a truckload of stuff just sitting around. This last move, I told you, I said, I've got a good idea. I'm going to buy boxes that are all the same size. And that's wonderful because they stack neatly. And so I thought, okay, I will get medium boxes, not the big ones, not the small ones. The small ones, I'll have too many to handle. A medium. Do you know how much a box, a medium box weighs that's full of books? One of the dumbest ideas I ever had. The box is so full of books, if number one, if you can pick it up without destroying your back, the box starts torquing and twisting, and it one side rips out, and there goes all the books spilling out. So I said, okay, I've got a better idea. I'm going to go down to the local big box home improvement store. Well, I can say it, it's Lowe's, because I don't know where the Home Depot is around here, if there is one, but Lowe's down the road. They have these tubs, and they're pretty cheap, only 10 bucks a piece. So I'll buy a few of those. They're all the same. And when we moved from Clarksville here to Shelby, we actually made 4 or 5 trips to get all of our stuff here. But that didn't even work. So this may have been the most organized move we've ever made, but I still wound up hating it. And it was so bad that I would get to the point that I was praying that the Lord would allow an, quote, act of God, close quote, that is covered by insurance to just wipe my house off the face of the earth and we could start all over again, you know. That's kind of the way of it. But our leaving, our spirit, the real us, we just leave this house and we go to the next one that God has prepared for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Now that is what we call dying, but it doesn't sound like dying, does it? He said, I'm just moving. I'd rather be absent from this body and be present with the Lord. He was not apprehensive regarding leaving this world. Philippians chapter 1, he says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also which love his appearing. He treated his departure from this world like it was an airline reservation. You know, Tuesday at 4 p.m., I'm getting on the airplane, and I can't wait. That was the way he was looking at it. Now, I will tell you this. Not all Christians have the same spirit or attitude as Paul. When our loved ones or our friends depart, there is sadness. And it's simply due to the human condition and the trauma of losing someone, as we put it. Not everyone who faces the prospect of passing is as calm as Paul was at this point. There is sometimes a degree of apprehension simply because it is an event never experienced. And I think everybody gets a little apprehensive when you're going to go do something and you don't have any trial run. This is it. And I think there's a degree of apprehension that can be there, the element of the unknown. But I am convinced that God gives dying grace to those who need it when it is needed and not beforehand. I've seen God give dying grace to those who were stepping out of this life. And I've seen God give dying grace to those who have been left behind. One of my deacons back over in Clarksville, his name is David, during the morning service, I was not preaching, somebody else was preaching. During the morning service, somebody called me aside and said, we need to get David. There's been an incident in his family. And so I walked up, you know, right in the middle of the service, tapped David on the shoulder, said, David, you need to come with me. So we went out into the foyer and said, David, we just got word that your dad's had a heart attack and it does not look good. And so they're recommending that you leave right now. And so he went in, got his family, they got home, got packed, and they went on. And when he got there, he found that his dad was still alive. The heart attack was so severe, it actually put a hole in his heart. And the doctors told him, the family, there is no possible way of saving him. There is absolutely nothing that we can do to save his life. And he was staying alive simply through medical intervention. He was in a drug-induced coma. And so they said, okay, well, you know, that's it. Let's wake him up, give him the news. And so as he came out of that drug-induced coma, they told him, sir, you've had a heart attack. It's a serious heart attack, and there's nothing that we can do. This is it. And his response, my brother David, one of my deacons, when he came back, he said, my dad said two things. He first of all very calmly said, well, I guess it's time for me to go meet my maker. And the second thing he said is, before I go, can I have a cup of coffee? And so he got both of those wishes. He got his coffee, and then they let him go. And he entered into the presence of the Lord. Because of Christ paying the penalty of sin, the Holy Spirit directed the Apostle Paul to write these words, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Death is, later on in that chapter, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me give you four things from the Scripture quickly here that I believe are reasons that when a loved one, a family member that knows Christ passes from this life into the presence of the Lord, as we would say it, that is precious in God's sight. First of all, I believe this. God knows that it will be the end of our sorrow and our suffering. When we pass into from this life into the next, it will be the end of our sorrow and our suffering. No more sorrow, no more sickness, no more suffering, no more pain. Revelation chapter 21 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And then Revelation 21 verse 3, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Revelation 22 verses 3-5, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servant shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And what we need to understand is that God loves, and when we hurt, He hurts. And I believe that it is important to realize that when we go into the presence of the Lord, that marks the end of all of our trouble. Secondly, I believe that the Lord must be excited to show us everything that He's been preparing. I think the Lord must be excited to show us everything He's been preparing. John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, you and I, if we work hard and save up money to buy a gift for somebody, we're pretty anxious to give it to them, as a general rule. If we work at something and maybe build something with our hands for somebody, a special gift, we're anxious to give it to them. And oftentimes we find it hard to wait until the birthday or Christmas Day or whatever, Mother's Day or Father's Day or anniversary. We may find it difficult to wait until then. And then when that day arrives, we are excited about giving them, showing them the efforts of our labor or our saving. And I believe the Lord can't wait for us to be able to behold heaven. I had somebody ask me one time, they came and they were really agitated. And they said, Pastor Powell, somebody just said that when we get to heaven, that those mansions are not really mansions. They're just rooms that's added onto a house. I said, is that true? And of course, being the Greek scholar that I am, I went to the dictionary and I looked up the word heaven and I found out that it means either one. And so I went back to him and I said, called him by name and I said, you know, I don't know. I can't tell you for sure. But I will tell you this, when I get to heaven, if it is a log cabin out in the woods somewhere, which is what I would really like to have, that'd be great. But if it's just another room tacked onto the house of God, I don't care. I'm just going to be glad to be there. And I don't know that I'll be spending a lot of time there anyway. In that mansion. He must certainly be excited to show us what he's been working on. Thirdly, I believe that he must be excited to show us the behind the scenes of our life. Have you ever had something happen and you just couldn't figure it out? Why did this happen? Why did this happen now? What's the purpose behind all of this? 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And you know, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing when we get to heaven. And those of our loved ones and friends who have already gone on, they already know the behind the scenes of their life. Some of the people that Joy and I have had the opportunity to minister to over the years, I will never forget some of the instances and the situations of their passing. It was a fellow by the name of Chuck Gray that was in our church in Michigan, and he was an evangelist. And I was standing outside the office door when our school principal came in and said, I just got word Chuck's been in an accident and I don't think he made it. He was a young man with a young wife, had several children, and just like that, he was gone. We couldn't really understand the reason why that happened, why God decided to take a man that was right in the middle of his ministry. There was another family that we knew. It was not a real good situation. The mom was the strong person in the family, and she got cancer, and she passed away, and from a human perspective, that family did not do well after that. And we would wonder, we would question, and we would say, why? But there are, I can tell you that nothing happens by chance. It is all part of God's design. Many of you know that the Lord, for whatever reason, decided that our daughter Jessica needed to go home to heaven when she was 8.5 years old. And we're not the only ones here that's experienced that, the loss of a child. There are others that have done that as well. But I'm grateful that the Lord allowed us, via that car wreck that we had, and the Lord used that to take her life, that there's just been some incredible things that God has just kind of pulled the curtain back just a little bit to be able to let us see. The Lord led Joy and me to write a gospel tract about her story. And the Lord has seemed to be pleased to use that. Our son was, when he was 15, was in driver's education class. And during a break, he went up to the instructor and said, here's a story about my sister. She was killed in a car wreck when I was just five months old. And so the instructor, he sat there during their break and read it. And at the end of the break, he said, Roger, come up here. I want you to read this to the class. And so he got a chance to read this gospel story to everybody that was in this public school. He was homeschooled, but he went to this public school driver's education class. I had what was up in Michigan, one of the ladies in our church came and said, Brother Powell, I need to tell you something. She said, I was at the seed and feed store the other day, and the lady who was behind the cash register said, are you the lady that gave me that pamphlet, she called it? And it was the one about Jessica. And she said, yes, I was. I did give that to you. And she said, I want to thank you for giving me that. She said, the day you gave me that, that afternoon, I was scheduled to go have an abortion. And I read that pamphlet that you gave me, and I decided to not have the abortion. And you know what? God gave me the opportunity to go visit that lady in Saginaw General Hospital when she gave birth to that child. It was an amazing thing. At the occasion of her death, two of the young people in our church up in Michigan surrendered to follow the Lord's path in ministry, Rodney Ruppel and Becky Swain. They eventually got married, and God called them to the country of Cambodia, where they are today. They've been there close to 30 years now as missionaries, and started in that land of darkness a Bible preaching church. They called it New Hope Baptist Church. I can't think of a better name for a church in a land like that. Hundreds of people have come to know the Lord. And so regardless of whether a person is young or old, regardless of whether it is expected or whether it is sudden, we need to understand that it is part of God's plan. He knows exactly what He's doing. Fourthly, I believe the reason that there is the death, the passing of a child of God, the fourth reason that God calls that something very special, precious, is that He must be excited to see us. He must be excited to see us. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Again, now we see through a glass darkly, but then how? Face to face. We're going to be able to see the Lord. You know, Adam and Eve had fellowship with God like no other person in this world ever had. The Bible tells us that Moses was able to speak to God just like it was face to face, but not like Adam and Eve had, and certainly not like you and I commune with God today. And how often is it that we might long to see the face of the Lord? We might long to see the face of our loved ones one more time. Certainly the Lord must long for the same, as we understand that being absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's a lot of people that I, and I'm sure you too, are looking forward to seeing in heaven. But the first person, the Bible promises, the first one that we'll be able to see, as it were, when we open our eyes, so to speak, in our new body, will be that of the Lord. So I believe that the emphasis about physical death, that's precious to the Lord for many wonderful reasons. But you know what? I think there's a second application, and that is not only physical death, that's precious to the Lord, but I believe it's also precious to the Lord when we die to ourselves. Precious in the sight of the Lord, it is when we die to ourselves. Personal death, I will call it. A Christian's personal death, I believe, is just as precious, just as important to the Lord. The Bible tells us, and Paul testified under the direction of the Spirit of God in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I am crucified. That's just another way of saying I am dead to myself. God is so pleased when we take our hands off of the controls. I like what one person said, God is not my co-pilot. Now, I'm not being critical of people who have that license plate on the front of their vehicle. And maybe some of you have that, a license plate. I'm not being critical of that at all. But what I think we need to come to understand is God is not our assistant. God is the one that's in charge. We're not even His assistant. We are simply the vehicle or the tool that He chooses to use. And so, but we have that opportunity to try to grab hold of the controls and do it ourselves as if we think that God needs our help. And what? He loves it. It is precious when we just simply take our hands off the controls and say, God, this is in Your hands. Show me what my part is. Show me what I'm supposed to do. And then, Lord, I want You to just take care of this. When we die to ourselves, but then secondly, personal death, not only dying to ourselves. And by the way, you know what? There is no place, no time in our life that we get to the point where we are done dead to ourselves. Dead as a doornail, as they would say, to ourselves. Why? And I believe that's the reason that the Bible tells us about Paul, who said, I die how often? Daily. It is something that has to be done over and over and over again. I like what somebody said. The trouble with a living sacrifice, spoken of in Romans, is the fact that the living sacrifice can climb off the altar anytime it wants to. And so God is pleased when we die to ourselves and say, Lord, you take control. But then when we secondly die to this world, die to this world. 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And you know what? There's a lot of stuff that clamors for our attention. Wouldn't you say? There's all kinds of things that are advertised. I know, please don't judge me on this. I know you're going to laugh, and you'll just, it's just another manifestation of my simple thinking. I was got up this morning and I was checking through some stuff, and all of a sudden this advertisement popped up for the world's best shaving razor. And I thought, well, I'd like to have a really good shaving razor. And so I looked at it and go, oh, that looks good. Oh, and it's cheaper than what I got. And then finally I stopped. And it's like I slapped myself in the face. No, don't fall for that. It's not better than the rest of them. They're just trying to sell you something. So I deleted it. But whew, I was almost there. My finger wasn't quite hovering over the buy button. But I just said, no, this is dumb. I don't need that. And there's all kinds of things that clamor for our attention. Popularity, the accolades, the being recognized. And yet we ought to understand when the Bible tells us, he must increase, but I must decrease. And when we get to that point of self-dying, I don't care if anybody notices, I don't care if anybody recognizes. What I do care about is if anybody recognizes the Lord in all of this, and we can completely die to ourselves. Well, I'm not sure if this explanation has made anything clearer for you, but I think it helped me at least understand what the Lord was talking, what the Bible is talking about when it says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. There are benefits when we die, when we pass from this life, from this body into the one that the Lord has prepared for us. And then when we die to ourselves, and this world doesn't have the allurement to us like it sometimes has. Father, we're thankful for the time we've been able to look into your word, and I pray that you would help us to be encouraged. Lord, I ask that you would help us, although some, Lord, there are those who have recently suffered loss. There's those that even just the recently, in the last couple of days, have suffered loss. And Lord, there is certainly the sorrow, but not the sorrow like those who have no hope. And so, Lord, I pray for grace. I pray for the peace of God and for your grace to abound. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have a complete understanding that the best, absolute best days, as it were, are yet to come when we can enter into your presence. And Lord, when we can enter into a life that is devoid of the things of this world, dying to ourself. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless us in that end. Bless the service to follow, and we will give you the praise. We ask this in Jesus' name.